This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
For being a friend.
Oh, I know you'll need one today. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. Can we get the date?
New York.
Ooh. Oh, that's a nice clue. What do you want from me? My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
I'll pose like a pig with an apple in my mouth with one of them if you want.
You're a freak. Our amazing producers, the not-so-little Don.
If you're feeling risque.
Here's another freak. That's RJ Santillo. How about our warrior, Raymond Santiago?
Sounds like you don't have trustworthy chickens.
I apparently need better chickens. And, of course, as always, we have the company with us. Thank you for getting up with us this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Andrade Il Idolo.
Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Number to call, as always, 1-800-919-3776.
Calls.
Yeah, we want lots of calls. We have an awesome show planned for you today.
I pride myself on, like, three things.
It's not physique, I can tell you that. That was nasty. I guess we can discuss that if you want. The New York Rangers with a heartbreaking Game 1 OT loss down in Carolina. A harmless shot from Ian Cole, of all people, in overtime off the stick of Ryan Lindgren was the difference. Yankees, ho-hum, win another game in Baltimore. That's now 9 straight series wins. They're 21-3 in their last 24 games. The Mets win but lose. Max Scherzer pulled himself out of the game. Mid at bat in the sixth with left side discomfort. We'll hear from Mets GM Billy Epler and Aaron Boone, who were both on the K-Show yesterday. How about this pairing, Dave? Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy tee it up this morning at 9:11 Southern Hills for the PGA Championship. 7:35. I know this will cheer you up. We have Dave's former co-host, his first love, the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, Mike Maniscalco. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we have no observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to say good morning to my very affectionate co-host.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
And how did that make you feel, Dave?
I have a big one.
Excuse me?
You are slurping on it.
No, I'm not. You are.
What's Richard, your middle name?
Mine is Hugh.
That's terrible.
Yes, that is the very best in the business, David Hugh Rothenberg.
Well, good morning. I am not in a good mood.
I could tell.
I'll be honest with you right now. I am not in a good mood. I'm just not.
Oh,
I'm just not.
Be. You shouldn't be.
I'm livid. The Rangers blew a golden opportunity to take a 1-0 lead in that series. I'm just in a bad mood. I mean, so anything, if I lash out, it's not directed at you. It's just the circumstances that life has brought to me right now.
Well, I think you deserve to. I mean, for what happened with the Rangers game, I mean, two almost perfect periods. To end in a heartbreaking OT loss. And then to watch Max Scherzer pull himself out of that game in yet another MRI for a Mets starting pitcher. Yeah, it was not a great night.
I wanted to rub old mayonnaise on myself. Now, what do I have here, Santiago, in the group chat? He sends me a photo and it says, I can't even open the thing. Did you get this?
Oh, because he's the stinky droid guy. He sends photos.
So is that why? Because he uses this defective phone. He sends us a photo, and it won't even open.
Oh no, I got it. It's Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney on Yes on the Yes.
Why are they on Yes?
They're soccer guys.
They're big TV stars now.
Wait, yeah. So their podcast is now on Yes?
I don't know about the podcast, but they were on Yes Network after the Yankee game last night.
Caught offsides.
Well, what do you mean you don't know? Why were they on Yes?
They were clearly talking soccer. I couldn't tell you.
So then the podcast is now on television?
I don't think it was the podcast. They were talking to somebody from a studio somewhere.
Well, you have
maybe
no
they had
answers.
Him on as guest because they do a great podcast. I mean, JJ can speak on soccer and the porn industry. So that's entertainment right there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, tell me that doesn't sound like one of the greatest porn names of all time.
J.J. Devaney? He's a very nice guy.
And he wears very tight jeans, almost leggings.
RJ's very tight with him, you know.
Yeah. They're close.
Very tight with him. In fact, I think RJ likes him better than he likes us.
What is wrong with you?
I don't that wouldn't surprise me at all. At all. You just heard RJ. He likes to get a little risque once in a while.
Just win, baby. You got to win everything. It's the American way.
What is that?
That's RJ. Apparently has all the J.J. Devaney sound.
Oh, you have J.J. Devaney drops.
What is wrong with you?
That's not J.J. Devaney.
What is wrong with you?
That's J.J.?
That's J.J. It sounded like Ty there for a second.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
It's the time for bravery.
That's J.J.
That's J.J. right there.
Great. Great. All right, why don't you go ahead and carry the show? You know the way typically...
someone crosses me, I hate them forever, and probably irrationally.
You know the way typically, like, we finish the show, and I'm like, boy, I carried you today, and you're like, yes, Dave, you did. You need to carry the show today.
Oh, I'll carry it. You just set me up. Put it right on the tee. I'll whack it.
I got nothing. I have nothing. I'm just in a bad mood.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't be in a bad mood. Well, I mean, there's some positives to take out of that game last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, are there really?
Well, after what you saw against Pittsburgh, did you think that the Rangers were capable of doing what they did in the first two periods defensively?
No, but was that the Rangers or was that Carolina just came out and was just dormant for the first 40 minutes of that game?
I think it was both. Just like I think in the third period, it was both. It was desperation for Carolina, and you saw that with Rod Brind'Amour mixing up the lines, which they don't like to do. So he makes some changes. They respond, had that big push, which you expected, in that first 10 minutes. And
I didn't think the Rangers would go into the fetal position, though.
They didn't go into the fetal position. Did they do a good enough job of getting pucks, you know, behind Carolina's defensemen? No, probably not.
They had no shots for like the first how many minutes of the third period?
But Dave, that happens. I mean, you played two perfect periods. At some point, a team as good as Carolina, especially at home, who, oh, by the way, is the best third period team in the NHL, was going to push. And Igor had to make some saves, and he made some big saves. But
I don't blame Igor.
No, I don't either. But let's not forget. I mean, Kaapo Kakko had a wide open net.
How do you miss that?
Wide open net, which would have made it 2-0.
How does he miss that? And he played a good game, and I thought that was their best line of the game by far.
Which is, by the way, is a problem. As good as
that line was. Well, because the first line was dormant last night.
Yeah, Strom's line was not great last night.
And Strom with a dumb penalty.
And by the way, the Panarin back check on the goal. Ugh. Yuck.
When you're in defensive mode.
Well, what happened there, if you watch the play, is Strom decides he's going to change. So they're playing a nice, crispy 1-2-2, which is essentially sitting back because you're only sending one forechecker, but you're clogging up the middle of the ice. So all of a sudden, Strom changes. So now it's a 1-1-2. Zibanejad's late, right? And for some reason, Panarin decides he doesn't really want to get back to his net. And Shesterkin made an unbelievable save on Aho.
He sure did.
And then they knock in the rebound. That's tough, though. When you give up a late goal like that to bounce back for
deflating.
Overtime.
I thought there was, and I was right, no chance. Once that game was tied at 1, no chance they were going to win that game. I'm just actually pleased it didn't go till midnight.
Once you had that flurry where Niederreiter comes down, and I know that breakaway aggravated you, right? But
you yelled at me, and I don't think that's validated.
Well, but listen. You're not going to play a perfect game. So when you're playing a good
team, but it wasn't the only one. They had odd man rushes. You're protecting. Like you would agree, they played zero offense in the third period, right? They put no offense on the table.
They didn't generate much.
Okay.
In the third period.
So you're in defensive mode. How are you giving up breakaways? And if you're in that mode,
well, this is what if pucks get lost in the neutral zone and all of a sudden they're quick back in transition, like I mentioned, you're not getting pucks deep. Like that's how you protect. You protect the lead is, you make, get out of your zone, which I thought they did really good in the first two periods, like on the walls in the defensive zone, getting pucks out. And then you get pucks behind their D and you try to generate some offensive zone time. I mean, that's the best way to protect the lead is playing their the other team's zone.
A devastating loss.
But I'm telling you right now, and I promise you, this is the God's honest truth. When Niederreiter comes down, hits the crossbar.
Right.
And then,
by the way.
It was a great shot. And then, I mean, right after that is when Kakko missed the wide open net.
But not like you say wide open. I'm sure there are people who didn't see it. Like, the goalie wasn't in the net.
No. It was Trouba took a shot, broken play, got deflected, got blocked in front, and then kicked to Ranta's right. And before he could even react to the puck moving to his right, It was on Kako's stick, and he actually pushed it all the way across the net.
Came that's all the game way right there. He puts that in. That's game. We're talking about Rangers win 1-0 home ice. There's the whole thing.
Yeah, 2-0. I mean, that game is it's going to be hard at that point to come back down two.
I meant 1-0 in the series.
Yeah. And then, but I was texting you guys last night during the first period. I mean, there was a chance to make that game 3-0 in the first period.
They should have. Ranta was sensational early in that game.
He was. Made that great save on Hedl. Then he made a couple great saves on Reeves. But I did not think after what I saw, and I know the Rangers were once we got through the deadline and then they picked up Mott and Kopp and made those moves, they were better defensively. One of the better teams actually defensively. But then I watched that Pittsburgh series and I'm like, no, this looks very familiar to what we saw earlier in the season. Just they couldn't defend. So I was surprised. I didn't think they could do what they did in the first two periods.
But did they do that, or was Carolina so dormant? That's the big question to me.
I think it was a mix of both. Because you got to remember, both teams played 7-game series, right? I mean, I think it took a lot more work for the Rangers the way they won their series. So, yeah, I mean, there was a little of that. They came off flat, and you could tell that Rod Brindamore wasn't happy. Ian Cole after the second you could tell he wasn't happy. Like, let's get to our game. So you expected there'd be a push. There would be a huge push from them early in that third period. For the most part, you withstood it. But you withstood it, and you gave yourself a chance.
For 17 and a half minutes, you withstood it.
And Kako had the... that's the game. It really... I mean, Kako with the puck on his stick, and that line was their best line.
How do you miss that, though?
I don't know.
I mean, anyone in the NHL, how do you miss that? You're supposed to be a goal scorer. The puck is on your stick. There's nobody in the net.
Yeah, you rush it, I guess. Didn't realize how much time he had.
I guess.
But that's a big moment.
Could be a series-changing moment. Now, listen, they lost game one to Pittsburgh. Very painful fashion. Should have won that game. We all thought it was a bad no call, right? Or a bad call, whatever you want to say with that interference. So, and we've said it all year long. I really made mention a lot of it in round one. This is a very, very resilient team. But I will just say that I feel extraordinarily deflated this morning.
Yeah, and you should. I mean, you should, because that was a missed opportunity, especially with everyone that you've heard favored Carolina in this series. So, I mean, Carolina played a really good Boston team and dominated them in Carolina.
But that was your chance. That right there, that a silver platter, that was your chance to steal a game from them in Carolina where they're so brutally tough, and they haven't been that good on the road. Right? They were 4-0 at home in the first round. They were 0-3 on the road in the first round.
Yep.
That was your chance right there to say, we've done what we have to do. We don't need to win another game in Carolina. Now you still need to win a game in Carolina. And they're now 5-0 at home in the postseason.
Yeah. But again, the word you mentioned is the most important word, is resilient. So, I mean, you have a heartbreaking loss in game one, to Pittsburgh. Right? Game you thought was over. Goal gets disallowed. You lose in three overtimes. Igor stands on his head, right? That takes a lot out of you. But they bounce back. Only difference now being you're in Carolina as opposed to being at home. Right?
Correct.
So you don't feel like... I guess with all the positives I would take out of this game, the one negative I guess I would take out of this game is I don't expect Carolina to look like they looked in the first two periods again.
Because they won't. They feed off that crowd. And the crowd wasn't crazy early on. They didn't play well. They were very quiet. Rangers had the opportunities. And in that third period, the ice completely tilted. So now you're going to have to deal with them on the road. I swear to you, and this is true, and you're going to say no, but this is true. If the Rangers would have won the game last night, I would have sat on the couch relaxed on Friday night. Relaxed.
Because they
did what they had to do down there.
That's exactly right. And I know there's no such thing as house money because you get greedy. I mean, once you win game one, you get greedy.
I would want to win it, but I wouldn't have been stressed to the guilds having to win game two.
No, I know, which I think is to your benefit. Like, you can sit there and say all you want. Well, the series doesn't start until the home team loses a game. That's fine, but you still don't want to go back to New York down 2-0, right? So you win game
one.
Need to now,
win 4 or 5, no.
Like, but now you win game one. Now all of a sudden, okay, we can loosen up a little bit. Like, all right, we came here, we did what we were supposed to do. Now let's really try to go get game two and take full control of the series.
Right. Absolutely. But here we are.
And then you had Lafreniere hit the crossbar in the second period. Ugh. I mean, ugh.
So many. Ronta was good.
Ronta
was really good.
Yeah, he was good. Made some huge saves. Huge saves. Shesterkin made some big saves in that third period.
Shesterkin was excellent in that
game.
Oh,
my God. I mean, just what?
Shesterkin?
You know what's funny, too? And I keep saying this. Like, that Colorado Blue series, like Jordan Binnington played out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's like these innocuous shots that go through screens.
That's why you shoot the puck.
Like Lindgren, I mean, that's a nothing shot. Nothing.
Good deflection by him, though.
Oh, it's a terrific deflection, but it's a nothing turnaround wrist shot that Igor stops. You could take 5,000 shots like that, and Igor wouldn't let in one single goal. But gets deflected in by his own teammate. Ugh.
Yeah, just
by the way,
really
good adjustment, too, because Santiago was having a nervous breakdown when Lindgren was banged up a little bit.
By the way, I went out of the group text.
Because I was critical of Gallant a little bit in that first round for not making the right adjustments. Him putting Fox with Miller was much smarter
than
putting...
But that's what I've said, right? I don't understand how you could take a guy who doesn't play and now, go play 30 minutes on our top pair.
Yeah. Well, they
never made sense.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I'm ultimately so committed to you on the show.
Please tell me it's not find another horrendous did it happen in Florida story that hijacks the segment. Please tell me it wasn't that.
What time is Maniscalco on, RJ? 7:35. Yeah, I look forward to that.
Yeah, you probably have his Facebook up right now, just staring at pictures of him right now.
No, I don't. I'm not creepy. He's a friend of mine. We put on good radio. No reason for you to feel away.
Well, you just called me Mike.
Well, because did you hear what you just did though? In retort, you took shots at me. Stop
how
with
do
the
I,
sexy
I mean, how
music.
How am I supposed to feel though? I don't get it. Like me and you were like we're all.
I said I was sorry. It was a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, you and Sherry are cuddled up in bed, and all of a sudden you call her whoever your first girlfriend's name was.
Rachel.
Your first true love.
She wasn't a true love, but first girlfriend.
Now, Maniscalco is like your first. I mean, you love working with him. He's like your first guy.
I did. I love working with him.
Okay,
but it doesn't mean I love you any less.
No, I know, but it would. I mean, you don't think it would freak Sherry out?
If I said, Rachel.
Oh, Rachel. Yeah, that would. I mean, she'd kick you right out of bed.
Probably so.
And if you didn't have Sherry, God knows where. I mean, you took on the snooze button the other day as if you could defeat the snooze.
I know, it was such a terrible decision. But did it out of kindness.
Kindness?
Because
you were exhausted.
No, but I did it. Yeah, you're right. But I'm always exhausted. Because I thought to myself, I can win this battle. And if I turn the snooze off now, in 8 minutes from now, it won't wake up my wife. And that was a kind thing to do. And then at 5:46, I get a, don't you have to be up for the show? No, 4:46. Don't you have to be up for the show? And I was like, oh, God. I was like, she's going to tell me it's like 5:17. I was like, what time is it? 4:46. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you would have seen if it was 5:15, 5:16. You would have just Rome would be burning.
I could only imagine.
The whole show would be burning.
You know what? I am hot. You know what we should do one day? You know, like they do those experiments on rats. One day, just like I'll be there, but I you'll tell Rick I'm not available until like 5:30 that morning, just so we can see what happens when we put the cheese in front of him.
I know what will happen. He'll turn his Comrex off and leave.
I'll throw it right out the window.
Good Thursday morning.
He'll say he got robbed and he'll throw his technology literally out the window.
I'll actually make it seem like I'm being robbed.
On ESPN 98.7.
As
Could you
open.
Imagine that? That'd be good radio.
Yeah, as the Open is starting, I'm like,
Rick
oh,
DiPietro
no.
here with you, 98.7. What? How did you find me?
Please, no. Don't take my contracts,
no,
please.
No, leave my wife alone. Oh, my God.
No, I need that car. No, take my wife. No, don't take
whatever
the
Comrex. You do, don't touch the Comrex, sir. Take the car. I have a beautiful truck. He's taking the Comrex. I'm sorry, I'm out.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
So I don't know how to use this story. Now, here's my concern. My concern is RJ will use the story in today's Nobservations. Beat him to the story?
No, why didn't you ask RJ during the break whether or not he had the story?
This is how well I know you. I know what the story is. We haven't even talked about this. It's Nick Saban, isn't it?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know you so well. Well, clearly you don't, pal.
Maybe Mike does.
Of course Mike would know.
Let's get his producer, too. You can just replace all of us. We know that's what you're going to ask.
He doesn't do radio anymore.
No, you can get the whole gang back together. Who is your old producer?
Oh, he was excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, excellent.
Yeah, Billy.
It wasn't Billy. Adam.
Close enough.
Adam was.
Let's see what he's doing.
We used to have an update anchor on the show.
Let's see what they're doing, too.
And he would get so nervous doing the updates that he would start shaking during the update.
I have TJ. I have Nico.
Oh, you guys are such babies.
What happened to TJ? Did you have to let them go? I haven't seen the untucked.
We're on hiatus.
Were there allegations?
More. Use it. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, were there allegations after that?
No. We're on hiatus. Welcome aboard. I prefer not to talk about it anymore.
After that creepy spider tech segment.
Do you really work with that spider tech? Really become familiar.
Do you know how many views on TikTok that
I
received?
Know. Yeah, that's because it sounded very Buffalo Billish of you.
Well, what Buffalo Bill? It received almost 6 million views on TikTok.
That's nice,
right? That's a big number. So I could use the story in observations. I could use the story tomorrow for the morning roast. Like it's an evergreen story.
Well, why don't you run it by RJ during the break? And if he has it, then don't use it. If he doesn't, then you get to decide.
Okay.
On an adventure.
I like that. I think it's a good point. Although, RJ, I know what it is. It's going to be the Nick Saban story. No, RJ, you don't know me that well yet.
I guess not.
You're not the Mike Maniscalco
for sure. Clearly, because he thought he was going to Game 7 and then right home or to the studio to sleep, and all of a sudden you went on a pizza tour / let's find the nearest strip club.
Where do you get naked ladies in this scenario?
We'll see naked ladies.
I didn't say anything about that.
RJ, what was the next step from the pizza?
So you think it goes pizza to naked ladies?
I felt like you were trying to get your carbon up.
There's not like a scotch involved there?
No. I think you were carbon up, and that's where you're headed.
Outside of referring people to the ESPN New York app, the only other thing you were saying to people was, to find the nearest establishment.
Pizza parlor to the strip club.
With the app.
Straight shot.
With the app. Bubbles, have you heard? Listen to this. Have you downloaded the app?
Hey, DJ, after we get done with Pour Some Sugar on Me, why don't you throw the ESPN app on?
Yeah. Brandy, listen. Just one button.
All of a sudden, the app is playing through the speakers.
That's right.
Oh, Mr. Rothenberg, nice to see you back. Welcome to the champagne room. What would you like for music?
As we welcome back to the stage, Candy.
Now on the main stage, the ESPN New York app.
And all of a sudden, Larry Hardesty pops up.
Yes. With Gordon Damer.
Ruby, ask me where Barry Sanders went to college.
Slide over to the left a little bit. Thurman Thomas, Oklahoma State. Teddy and Lindenhurst. Good morning, Ted.
Fellas, how's it going this morning?
You sound very serious.
I'm great. Dave is in a very bad mood today.
Very bad mood.
All right. Well, I'm in a good mood because the Yankees are playing really good. But I feel like we need to sustain our happiness right now because we're playing really bad teams right now.
Yeah, but who cares?
This next month, yeah. We're doing what we have to do, but I just feel like we're setting up for the Mets last year. You know what I mean?
No,
the Mets
are out of your mind.
The Mets won 77 games last year.
You are out of your
that.
Mind.
For right now, because in June we have the Angels, we have the Astros, we got the Twins. We have really tough teams coming up, and this whole hot start can go away just like that.
No, it actually can't. You're 20 plus games over 500. Even if you have a dip, even if you have a run of 10 games where you go like 3-7, you're not going to fall out of this thing.
No, you're 19 games over 500 right now.
You have put yourself in a position where you almost you can't collapse now.
Well, listen, you never know with injuries and everything else. But, I mean, they're playing good baseball. They have really good pitching. Their bullpen is elite. So, yeah, I mean, they play good defense. They have all the tools. Things started to go sideways with the Mets last year. I mean, when DeGrom all of a sudden got hurt and couldn't pitch, things went a little sideways.
The whole thing crumbled. And plus, DPHR Rothenberg, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. God, you want to interrupt me? Have at it.
Well, no, you interrupted me, actually. And the other thing, too, is, like, obviously the clubhouse was a mess, too, so that played into it. You didn't have a great, I mean, it's not like you had a veteran manager to steady the ship. I mean, he's talking about private rooms with Dopplers and screens and everything else.
Yeah, and now you have, like we've said a million times, an adult in the room.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Well, conversation during the commercial portion of the show, and he does have that story in observations. So because I am the guy I am, I will leave it for him, and he can use it in observations.
I think we should also point out what a professional RJ Santillo is.
How so?
Well, that he's got every base covered. He's got every story.
Well, in fairness to RJ, who does a wonderful job, it was brought to his attention by Ray J. Santiago and then by me. So he didn't have it on his own. He was helped to have the story.
Okay, yeah, but this is a team effort. So Santiago and RJ help produce the show, so they work together to make sure the segment is great. I mean, this is all you ask for.
We are a team.
In a team environment.
We are, in fact, a team. All right, so I do have something I can contribute to in observations, though.
It has to be better than what you did with the DHIF.
You better cut it out.
I mean, that story was caca poo-poo, is what it was.
It was a great story. You know what it was?
Like a Discovery Plus segment.
Here's what it is. You're a simple man.
Pawn Stars.
You're a simple man, and not a worldly guy. And this story was like Sistine Chapel.
You've been out of the country, and I'm not.
I've been out of the country.
Where?
Canada.
That's it.
Aruba.
Where else?
The Grand Caymans.
Have you been to Italy?
No.
Have you been to Paris?
No. But I've been to Paris and Las Vegas. they have the replica of the Eiffel Tower. I've been there.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. So, you know what? Just because you have endless amounts of money, that you're a country club guy and you can go gallivanting all over the world, don't take it out on me. It
has nothing to do with money.
You know, you went to Italy for the Olympics. Yep. You went to Germany to play professional hockey.
Correct.
So, you know, you're doing these for work.
Yeah, so I'm a world traveler is what I'm saying.
I didn't say you weren't a world traveler. I said you're not deep. There's no depth to you. I bring up a story like I did of someone finding a Greek masterpiece at a priceless
artifact.
Yes, and now all of a sudden it's too much for you to handle.
Not for me. I'm just saying what I read. RJ thought it was weak. Santi thought it was weak.
RJ didn't think it was a weak story.
RJ did not think that was a DHIF story.
RJ, good story, bad story.
Decent story, not DHIF story.
Yeah, RJ had a guy driving a car on the highway with his feet hanging out of a sunroof. And you come out of nowhere with the priceless Roman artifact found at a priceless Roman artifact.
You know who would have loved the story?
Mike would appreciate it.
If the person went to the hospital with a priceless Roman artifact inside them or something like that, that's more DHIF. That's more DHIF, let's be honest.
It was more of an offbeat story, less DHIF. Yeah, you're right.
You're right. No, you didn't have two thoughts about it until he just did that. Yeah, you're right.
I gave my thoughts that day. I don't need to say anything more.
You know what? I can't wait for Mike. 7:35, my old co-host going to join us here on the show. He's now the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. He's another one, by the way. Right? I do the show with him. He's now the voice of the Canes on television.
Aww. And he simulcast the radio. Yeah, he's a big star.
He's a big star. Let's go to George in Baltimore. Good morning, George. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Great show. I just want to bring up two quick points, one Yankee point and one Ranger point. On the Yankees, I know what Joey Gallo is, and I don't expect him to be anything that what he is. And I'm kind of looking towards playoffs. You know, I'm not You may think, well, George, you're counting your chickens before they hatch, but they're off to a great start. I mean, they should make it, right?
George, yeah, you're not counting your chickens. They're going to make it.
Yeah. And, you know, Dave, the thing I'm looking at is, do I want Joey Gallo up in the playoffs? You know what I'm saying? Do I want him out there? And I'm looking at Kansas City, and I'm seeing a guy who's going to be a free agent after this season, who the Yankees, with some prospects, may be able to get, Andrew Benintendi, who would be a perfect fit for the Yankees. He, you know, he hits for average, got some power, you know, good RBI guy, playoff, he won a World Series with the Red Sox, you know, a lefty batter. I just think he would just fit perfectly if Cash could make a deal like that, you know. I'm pretty sure he's going to make some deals. And another thing I'd like to see the Yankees not do is keep Aaron Hicks when he's in there in that ninth spot. I like him hitting out of that ninth spot better than I do at leadoff. And just switching real quick to the Rangers last night. I know you bleed and die range. So do I, Dave. I get like you when the Rangers lose, okay? I go start yelling. You know? So I get excited.
I had trouble sleeping last night, George.
I'm like, that's how I am. I just can't get it. But it was heartbreaking because Shesterkin played such a great game, And I thought the Rangers as a whole, for the majority of the game, played a great game. Yes, they did in the last 10 minutes. You know, here comes the rush by Carolina, you know. And they did kind of back up a bit and, you know, and they got a little too conservative there. But, you know, and then in the overtime, Lindgren goes off his stick and, you know, it's just a heartbreaker, you know. But that was about one of the better games we've seen them play. Well, you know, unfortunately that they lost.
Georgia, thanks for the call. You're a good caller. We appreciate you. They played a great, Rick. I thought a great 40 minutes. And they played a on your heels 20 minutes, and when they allowed that goal, you kind of had that feeling they weren't going to win the game.
Yeah, I mean that's devastating, especially with, you know, what happened early with the Kako missing the wide open net. I mean that's tough. That's what happens when you let a team like Carolina hang around. That's a really good team, especially at home, especially in the third period. So I get it. People are frustrated. You know, why did the Rangers change the style they were playing and everything? You know, some of that's, I mean, you have to give Carolina some credit too. That they came out, you knew they were going to come out with a hard, you know, hard in the first 5-10 minutes,
and they did.
It's exactly what they did,
and they're a good team. And you're right. And that's what's so, you know, if they were a lousy team, you might say, well, you lost that game, but you're fine because they're not very good. They are very good.
Yeah, very good.
They are very, very good.
And as far as Igor is concerned, I mean, he didn't ask Igor to do much in the first two periods.
He was excellent in the third period. I thought
excellent in the third period.
But you're right. How many shots? What did they have? Like 15 shots in the first two periods combined?
Yeah, I think the score, not even that, like the scoring chances, I think through two periods, Carolina had.
Not a lot.
No, I think they had, I want to say six scoring chances in the first two periods, and then they had, I want to say five in the first 10 minutes of that. That third period.
What was the, do we know, what was the Lindgren issue last night?
Probably more of the same as what he was dealing with in the first year.
Whatever he has, he's still got it.
Yes, Canes had six scoring chances in the first two periods, five in the first 10 minutes of the third period.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a completely different team.
Well, they made some changes, too, which is a test.
Well, they changed up the lines, which they don't like to do.
Yeah, they don't. So they wanted to get Aho going. I mean, you had Teravainen, and he moved lines. And, I mean, Shesterkin made a great, early in that period, too, made a great save on Teravainen. So... But you got to expect that to happen, man. I don't know why people are surprised all of a sudden that Carolina showed some fight.
I don't think people are surprised. I think people are upset and disappointed. Because you look at that game and the Rangers... Listen, I'm sorry. The Rangers should have won that game.
It was a missed opportunity. That's
right.
Correct.
So if you have an opportunity where you should win and you don't, and you could have taken home ice, people feel a way about it. I don't think anybody's surprised that Carolina came out in the third period and played well. I think they're angry / disappointed because you had an opportunity and it slipped away.
Yeah, but you can't just, I guess my point is you can't just look at the third period as the reason as to why you lost the game.
No.
Like there were plenty of chances in the first period to make it a two-goal lead.
Should have made it a two or three-goal lead.
And then you had a chance, you know, with a wide-open net to make it 2-0.
I can't believe he missed that.
No, I don't think he can believe. He probably, I mean, I don't know how he would sleep last night. Like, I don't. Because I, as good as I think Carolina is, I mean, 6:45 left in the third period, you make it 2-0. It's a whole different ball game.
Whole different ball of wax. Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. All right, 1-800-919-3776. I don't want to be the guy that stands in the way of a nice lengthy observations. And did it happen in Florida? So let's begin.
If you say something like this.
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this.
My best advice to you.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Ah, yes, and they are brought to you by Jack Pocket. So, since Dave was such a nice guy, and Raymond, who's a tremendous individual as well, both recommended this story, we will start with it. So, the Yankees let go of a prospect last week. Probably was not on your radar whatsoever. So, let me introduce you to a man named Jake Sanford. Last Thursday, a week ago, he was cut, a former third-round pick in 2019. Why, you may wonder? You probably think, oh, he wasn't playing well or, you know, just ran out of space on the team. Not the case. He was stealing from his teammates and scamming people for money. He was taking equipment, basically anything that wasn't nailed down. There are rumors, I should say allegedly, that this is perhaps tied to some sort of gambling debt. He was drafted in 2019 and had a signing bonus of a little under $600,000. Once you dive down the rabbit hole, and you guys might remember this, you might remember this is not the first time the Yankees have had to deal with this sort of thing. You remember Ruben Rivera?
Of course.
So, for those that don't, in 2002, he stole Derek Jeter's glove and his bat and tried to sell those as well. But I guess we will take this moment to remember the end of Jake Sanford's Yankee minor league career.
Yeah, I think he was picked up. I think I saw last night on Twitter, he was picked up by like some Montreal baseball team.
And he's going to steal their stuff.
What's funny, RJ,
Dave's going to do the story in DHIF. He actually found a rare artifact at a yard sale.
You know who wouldn't make that joke is Mike Maniscalco.
No, Mike's better than that. He has respect for people he works with.
In all seriousness, do you think that guy's in trouble? Like, he probably had a decent signing bonus as a third-round pick.
If you were listening at all, he just had a $600,000 signing bonus.
Right, so
I mean, if you were listening at all. So make fun of me because I bring up a story which is worldwide.
My question,
this guy's saying, you know, he probably had a decent signing bonus. You mean the same one that RJ mentioned 45 seconds ago?
The one RJ mentioned, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, you're the expert in gambling, so I'm asking if the guy might have had a little bit of a problem.
Well, maybe RJ just said that!
Maybe he owed some people money.
Oh, my God.
And here it is, Dave lashing out.
The guy's asking all the questions that were just established in the story. RJ just said. He just said, and rumor has it that he had a gambling problem. And Ray's like, you think maybe he had a gambling problem? Maybe.
That's okay. I love him.
I'm upset that I can't get down the rabbit hole like RJ. I mean, he's really the only one that can make that possible at his size. That wasn't nice. Continue. That wasn't nice.
See, at least I'm proud of that. You realize it in the moment now.
That wasn't nice.
Oh, great. What growth you've shown. That now you destroy people, but you realize that you're destroying them in the moment.
I sent the nasty tweet yesterday to the K Show, and I didn't think Michael would read it, and he read it. And
you sent a tweet and sent a tweet?
A text. You know what I mean? A text. And he read it. And I was like, oh, God.
What, nasty to them?
No, to Peter.
What a surprise, because he would never take a shot at Michael. What did you say?
Well, no, he was talking about, because Michael, like, talking about he's going to... Peter's headed down to, I think, to Maryland. Where's he from? He's from Maryland, right?
Correct.
Washington?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's got his best friend's, you know, child's bar mitzvah. So Kay was like, well, you can't have, how many best friends can you have? Like, you can only have so many best friends.
That's a very valid point.
Yeah, talking about, well, you know, who's your best man? And he said his brother. So how did that affect the best friend? And I may have texted him, don't worry, Peter will have plenty of weddings to accommodate all his best friends.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's nasty.
That is rough.
Wow.
That's terrible. Funny, when I texted it, when he read it, I was like, oh, that might have not been great.
My. All right, RJ, go. Wow. You're mean.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's not great.
Right, no, well, that crosses a line.
That's savagery is what that was.
Yeah, we move on.
Well, I mean, I thought you were going to make fun of, well, he's not going to get another, you know, gift for a kid's bar mitzvah, but to go there, geez.
So Dave very passively aggressively piles on, but, you know, we still move on regardless. Yeah. So this is what I thought you might have been talking about, Dave. Nick Saban's not happy with NIL. NIL in college football right now, is, I don't know how many people have been following it. We'll hear more in the coming months as college football heats back up. It is wild right now. There are kids signing for seven-figure deals. He singled out Jimbo Fisher of Texas A&M, who had a great recruiting class, I believe number one.
Correct.
and said they bought all their players.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
And by more and more, he means perhaps Deion Sanders. He took a shot at his school. Also, Deion Sanders responded saying he would address that, quote, lie at some point today. Being
That's
Thursday.
His guy, though. They do commercials together.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
You're going to tell me they're not doing the same, though?
Well, of course they're doing the same.
Of course. But I mean, didn't he say that his team got up to, like, combined like $3 million?
Yeah.
NIL.
Well, they're saying because USC, too, is just cleaning up in the transfer portal, that they're just peeling off deals in the LA market, two for kids, like left and right. But I mean, these are the rules now, right?
Well, what did you expect to have happen?
Yeah, exactly.
With the amount of money that the boosters have with these teams and the businesses that they own.
These are the rules.
I love the fact that Saban is turning his nose down at what other schools are doing.
So, Saban, what the moral of the story is, Saban, you got to pony up more, buddy. More money for these kids. If you want these
kids, what you're doing, though,
you don't think the Alabama boosters can get more money for them?
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
They got to up their salary cap.
Yeah, but you're building excuses, too, which is, I mean, so why didn't you have the best recruiting class? Well, we're not paying everybody.
You're still number two, also.
I know.
Shaq was on Instagram. He wasn't very nice to Kevin Durant. He had a caption of KD, and it said, KD's accomplishments since he left Steph, meaning when he left the Warriors, the numbers 1, 2, and 3, all of them blank.
Sounds very nice. Speaking of Kevin Durant, did you see Kevin Durant with David Letterman?
No. Where was it, like a talk show Letterman has online or something?
Yeah, I don't know what it was on, but I saw it, and they were talking about the benefits of marijuana, and David Letterman goes, did you smoke weed today? And Kevin Durant goes, I'm high right now.
I respect the honesty.
That's good.
Today.
Yeah, I'm actually high
right
now.
Before this interview.
another story from Raymond Santiago. Are you familiar with what's going on with the Coyotes of the hockey variety?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm paying I get to pay the escrow.
So they're awesome. They're playing in Arizona State. For 3 years, there's a fourth year option built into the contract.
It's 5,000 people, too, so people know.
5,000
people. Really pack them in there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fitting for how many people go to the games. But still, the agreement confirms that the Coyotes will pay rent annually. And one of the clauses in the contract says that the Coyotes are not allowed to modify the look of the ice surface. That may not sound like much, until you realize they will play all of their home games, 41 of them, in fact, with the Arizona State logo at center ice in a 5,000-person arena. This is a professional team.
Very intimate. What is that?
Is it
the pitchfork?
Is it though, RJ?
Yep, the Sun Devils with a pitchfork at center ice.
Nice.
Is it professional?
we've had
conversations about this team since I was doing the CBA negotiations when we had one of the lockouts.
How does this team stay in business?
Well, because it's one of Gary's things, bringing hockey to Arizona.
It's working beautifully.
Oh, it's terrific. It's just, what's great, too, is when you see how much money it's costing you in escrow. Because teams like that can't generate revenue.
Is it all about the Southwest? Because you could probably find another city that would be more welcoming, you know?
Oh, listen, it's Arizona, it's Florida, it's like his big thing. Like, he brought hockey to all these places.
I'm sure Houston could do with a hockey team.
Houston's actually, we played in Houston. I think it might have been the IHL, but that was a good spot. Dave, you would love that area—a little five-star steak restaurant with a little.
Oh, I sure would. You know what I'm really concerned about right now. RJ he's got no time, and he didn't even start his final segment.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. Naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, so no one naked, but troubling story. Police arrested a man that broke into a home. You might think they get there right as the action is happening, right? Nope. Man was asleep on the couch. So the woman that lives there woke up, came downstairs, found a strange man sleeping on her couch, woke him up as safely as she could. And when she asked the man what he was doing, he said, "I'm sorry. I was robbing you. I fell asleep." And then he left.
But he did robbing you.
He did not return the wallet, driver's license, credit, or debit cards that he took. Pretty much admitted he had, did not give them back. He was nice enough to apologize for her having to see the matter, but he left.
Wow. why would he say I was robbing you?
He was startled. He woke up. He didn't know.
I'm going to say not Florida, but have very little conviction in this one. So don't follow my lead.
Wow.
I'm not saying don't follow it. Don't follow it. Just like if you have a gut feel, go with that.
This is a tough one. So, Archie, why were, like, he admitted, okay, I'm robbing the house, but I'm not going to, the stuff I already stole, the woman wasn't like, hey, can we get that back?
Just, no, she did it, but he refused. You got to separate church and state here. Apologized for sleeping on the couch, did not apologize for the robbery, and in fact, continued with it.
I'm going to go Florida.
Wow, the first time you guys have differentiated.
I'm going to go Florida.
I'm
telling you, I think Florida.
And Raymond.
Maybe I'm using stereotypes here. But I do have conviction, and I feel that it's not Florida, because if it were Florida, that guy probably would have been shot.
RJ, let me ask you a question there for Raymond. Do you think that he actually stole the wallet? RJ, do you think he actually walked out with the wallet, or no?
He did.
Okay, that was a question from Raymond.
Okay, just being sure.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, you're on an island on your own.
Wow.
That is the island of winners.
Yes.
Sarasota, Florida is where it happened.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's my current love and my former love, who I still currently love, the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. We bring in my former co-host in the morning down on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, which has never been the same since we were off the air. And that, of course, is the great Mike Maniscalco. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm well. And I mean, it was a love that Shakespeare would have written about. I don't want to put Rick in an awkward spot with this. But as I told RJ, there is no other human being that I would wake up for this early to talk about anything other than you. And happy to be here, Dave. I know our wives are still concerned about that, and that's fine, but they know. And again, I don't want Rick to feel awkward about this, but you are correct, Dave. Ever since you and I were split up here in Raleigh, that radio station's never been the same.
It really hasn't. All right, so we'll have fun. We'll do hijinks. We're in no rush this morning, but let's get to the matter at hand. And that is the game last night. Mike, I thought Carolina was, quite frankly, bad for two periods. Third period overtime, clearly the better team. What worries me is that they don't play that poorly again. From the Rangers' standpoint, to play that well for two periods and lose, how concerned should the Rangers fan be right now?
I think they should be very concerned, because you're spot on. And the Canes basically, to a man, said that last night too, Dave, that that was probably as poor of a start to a game that they've had all year in those first two periods. They only had 14 shots on goal through 40 minutes. They did not make Igor Shesterkin have to work very hard on many of those 14 shots. Meanwhile, you got the contribution out of a line that you were hoping was turning a page in the kid line, and they were excellent all night with Filip Hedl, Kaapo Kakko, and Alex Lafreniere. They were outstanding. And then you were starting to feel, okay, the Rangers are one more goal away from burying this thing. Rod Brind'Amour makes a couple of tweaks to the lines in the third period. And I hate to say this to Ranger fans, but the third period, what you saw out of the Hurricanes, that's basically how they played all year. That's how they played to win the Metro Division. I know that Ranger fans saw it when the Canes won the Metro Division that Tuesday night up at Madison Square Garden. That's the kind of relentless style that they play. You know, they outshot the Rangers, 7-0 in the first 12 minutes of the third period. But it's one for me where the Hurricanes, they know that they wore ski masks in that game, that they stole it the way that they played for the first two periods. And you're not supposed to play one good period and win a playoff game, but that's what happened last night. So the level of concern should be high for Ranger fans this morning.
All right, Mike, let me ask you this because you're with this team every day. How unusual is it during the course of the season to have Rod Brindamore decide that he wants to start mixing up lines the way he did last night?
Not too unusual, because he's not afraid to go to a couple of combinations that he knows can work. One of the reasons why you saw the line changes in the third period is because against the Boston Bruins, the Canes wanted to put a little bit more depth in scoring because that they knew that Boston was so top heavy with that Bergeron line that if they could balance out and separate a couple of guys, moving Teuvo Teravainen away from Sebastian Aho, putting Teravainen with Vincent Trocheck, and that worked. You know, Trocheck had 7 points in that series against Boston, but just to put more scoring balance for the Canes. But it's something where when this team was flat or wasn't giving the performance that Rod Brindamore wanted to see, Rick, he's not afraid to move guys around. And that's why it worked right off of the hop to start the third period, because pretty much everybody for the Carolina Hurricanes has played with everybody at some point in time during the season, either for a period or for a game or for a stretch of games. But, you know, Rod has a feel for the game because, Rick, I know you'll appreciate this. He doesn't coach it like a coach. He coaches it like a player. And he knows, like, when a player needs to do something or they need some kind of change, that's the feel that Rod has, and that's why he made that move. So it's not that uncommon to see him, you know, juggle up the lines a little bit, and the combinations he went to were combinations that he knows has worked during the course of the regular season.
All right, he is Mike Maniscalco, voice of the Canes down in Raleigh, calling the games on radio this round because now this is nationally televised stuff, big stuff, Rangers and the Hurricanes. So, Mike, what do the Rangers need to do? I know you say Carolina will play better, and I think that you're right with that. But how do the Rangers go down there Friday night, 8 o'clock start? You can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN, and steal one of these two games, other than just say they have to do what they did in the first 40 minutes. But what needs to change to actually get a victory in this game, too?
Well, they need to make life, and this is going to be odd to say because there were some A-plus chances from the Rangers, but they need to make life a little bit rougher for Antti Raanta and get in front of him. You know, Chris Kreider is maybe, and I say maybe because who knows if there's another fan base listening in on this, but Chris Kreider is maybe the best net front presence in the National Hockey League. If there's somebody better than him, you know, submit the name. And
Pavelski maybe?
Mike,
Pavelski maybe?
Yeah. That's a good one when it comes to taking away the goalie's eyes and getting a stick out in front and deflecting pucks or just being a beast out in front. Yeah, Joe Pavelski would be the one guy who I would put in that category. But they've got to make life tougher for Antti Raanta. That's one. Two, they've got to make the Canes defense just make them a little bit more antsy with the puck than what they did. There were a lot of hits in that game last night. That game was a little bit more physical than I thought it was going to be. But it's not a sexy way to play the game. But you've got to get the puck to the Canes' blue line, get it in deep, and make sure that you get a forecheck going and hit the Carolina Hurricanes' defense. Now, it doesn't bother the Canes' defense that much, but you can maybe force a couple of turnovers that way. That's how the goal would score it is. You know, Tony DeAngelo makes a bad giveaway, and he'll tell you that, in the Canes' zone, and Hedl takes advantage of it on a great pass from, you know, Lafreniere and Kako, how they set him up. But you have to do that. Not enough teams do that against the Hurricanes. And it's, like I said, not the most exciting style to play. And then the other thing, you got to find a way to generate some penalties. There were only two penalties called in that game last night. The Rangers have to find a way to get to the power play. And that would be the thing that they could do to come away with a victory in game two. And I know you said I couldn't say the first two periods, but how good they were taking away the time and space of the Canes offensively. Carolina had nothing going in that 40 minutes, but the way that the Rangers had sticks and passing lanes and they gapped up, they have to duplicate that effort. That has to happen because that's going to be the only way that you can beat the Hurricanes in Raleigh.
Yeah, and to your point too, Mike, Tony DeAngelo will take a stupid penalty now and again if you're tough on him. All right, so we took a bunch of phone calls today. I think Dave even said it because he was in a bad mood. He wasn't going to show up. You know how he gets one of his teams.
Yeah, he actually does know how I get. Yeah.
So
yes, I literally do.
Yeah, so you feel my pain. So I had to cheer him up and everything else. But I mean, with how well the Rangers played in the first two, and you mentioned taking away time and space, clogging up the neutral zone and everything else, it was, you know, he said it and a bunch of people called it and said is, well, the Rangers got away from their game in the third period, and I would make the argument, well, you have to give Carolina some credit too, because that's, I mean, what you saw in the third period, to your point, was just how Carolina played the entire season and then how they played against Boston at home. So, I mean, some of that's Carolina too, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the one thing for fans, they forget the other team tries to win the game too. Because Canes fans, you know, were going crazy through the first 40 minutes of play, saying, you know, what's wrong with this team? How come this is happening? Well, how about give the Rangers credit for how they played? And the third period, the Canes got to their game. And that's the one thing that I take away from last night, that if you put it in a vacuum, if we're not going to be fans, if we're just going to break down the game, how the Hurricanes played in the third period, that's their style of hockey. That's how they win games. What the Rangers were able to do in the first 40 minutes, it wasn't that the Canes played terrible. How about give the Rangers some credit for how they played defensively, for how they managed the puck, and how they were able to force Carolina to chase the Rangers around in the offensive zone. So I think that both teams deserve a little bit of credit for how they played last night, the Rangers at the start. And then, again, the Canes, when they are at their best, they are forechecking, and it is relentless. And it's a line that starts it, too, for the Canes. It's the Jordan Staal line with Jesper Fast. By the way, thank you, New York, for not re-signing Jesper Fast. You know, he's never going to score 40 goals, but he just does everything right. He plays the game the right way. And Nino Niederreiter, that's a heavy line. And, you know, that line might not show up on the score sheet, but they're effective because you didn't see the Zibanejad, Kreider, Vetrano line show up on the score sheet because they're heavy on the puck in the other zone. So I'm with you, Rick. That's the big thing that happens. And as I know from experience, we do have to talk Dave out of certain situations from time, saying it's not that bad. Take a look that your team actually did a couple of good things. They just have to do more of it for 60 minutes, especially. That's the weirdest thing for the Hurricanes. They used to be the team that would play a really good 40 minutes and then have that bad third period or a bad second period. Now they're the team that can overcome maybe not playing a great 40 minutes and finding a way to get a goal. Plus, they were the best third period team in the National Hockey League when it came to goal differential. Like they understand it's winning time, and there's no panic in their game, even if they're not playing well through 40 minutes of a hockey game.
I don't appreciate either of you bonding over my immaturity when it comes to my sports teams at all.
We're not bonding on this. No offense, Rick. I don't think there's a bond being formed right now. I think we just understand that at some point in time, cooler, more mature heads have to prevail to make sure the show goes on, Dave.
Mike, just let me, because again, you've experienced all this. So, I mean, the highs and the lows, the roller coaster that is Dave's fandom. So, Game 7, he's he takes over the ESPN suite, and he's ordering Adam Graves to move chairs because he feels like there's too many chairs in the suite. And then when they win, he's swearing into video cameras, let's bleep and go. He's asking our producer to steal cake pops and, for some reason, mustard. And then to top it all off, poor RJ Santillo, our producer, has to get back to the station to produce our show, and Dave tries to kidnap him for pizza and then whatever else he wants to do afterwards.
Yeah, no, that's pretty typical. My question, and Dave, this might be too much information for the fine people in New York State, were his clothes still on by the end of the game? Because that's been a trademark of Dave Rothenberg. The bigger the game, the fewer the clothes at the end of it on his body.
It wasn't, Mike, I'll put it this way, he had his clothes on, but I wasn't worried about his clothes coming off. It was where he was headed and those clothes being taken off.
I'm glad some things will never change. That makes me so happy, Dave.
Mike, do you see what I have to deal with? I mean, I go from you, and you're such a nice guy, and we had this wonderful bond, to just a heathen, a man that doesn't deserve my time every morning in these ungodly hours.
I mean, I don't know. I've never met Rick in person, but I'm starting to feel, you know, I understand where he's coming from, Dave. As much as I admire and respect you, I mean, I get it. I've lived this. I still remember the phone call of making sure you were okay when the Giants won the Super Bowl and hearing you run around your coffee table. We weren't sure if you were going to be able to make it in the next day.
Boy, was that a great day.
RJ, do me a favor. Play for Mike. Dave's what he was doing in the suite with the hugging. When you get a chance, if you can.
I hugged hard bodies the other night. I don't see how that's embarrassing, Mike. You know me, I'm a hugger. Rangers, I hugged hard bodies the other night. Rangers win the game. I'm turning to hug the people that are next to me. It turns out that there was a man who was in very good physical shape, and it was a hardened body.
How does that make me a better electorist guy?
Well, I mean, let's face it. You had Adam Graves in the box with you, so I'm quite sure that you weren't afraid to hug that hard body if you had to come up with a reason to give a hug. And you are a very affectionate human being, and I have no problem with that. I think that's part of the reason why you and I became such good friends. I just need to know if Roth and Domus has predicted any of this going on up there in the city that never sleeps.
They don't know anything about Roth and Domus.
Oh, stop it. I got your list. I got your stupid list of all your predictions. I wrote them down. Stop.
You see how I'm treated? You see how I'm treated? Mike, here's what I'd like to...
Now a little bit, Dave. That's a little disrespectful to you. Just a little bit.
It's very disrespectful. You miss me in the mornings, don't you? Be honest.
Oh, wow. I don't miss waking up as early as we had to in the mornings, but I do miss working with you in the mornings, that's for sure.
So if Rick ever found other employment, either like the afternoon show here with Michael Kay, who he has this bizarre man crush on, or he was asked to coach a hockey team full time, and they turned to you and said, mornings with Rothenberg, you would tag in immediately, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I kind of like the job that I'm in right now, but there would be some deep thought. There would be some contract negotiations for sure. Yeah, you know what? Just mark me down. Yeah, I'd be in. I'd find out if Michael Kay can call 150 Yankee games and do the wonderful job that he does. And by the way, who doesn't have a man crush on Michael Kay? I do too. And I actually raised my hand, and you guys can't see me as I did that. So, but yeah, I think I could find a way to balance calling Carolina Hurricanes games and work in the morning and do magical sports talk radio with you, Dave, like we did down here.
There you go. You have any other hockey questions, Rick? I don't want to stand in your way and get berated after.
Yeah, I just have one last one. Just update, Mike. What is the status of Freddie Anderson for the series?
I will give you the answer that Rod Brindamore gave us, which is until he's on the ice, it's pointless in asking. And he has not been able to participate in practice with the Canes. I did see him last night walking out of the arena, but I highly doubt that he would be available for this series because, Rick, as you know, for a goaltender, he's been out since April 16th when he suffered the lower body injury. We'll keep it in those contexts for the NHL. He's been out since then, since that injury against Colorado. He hasn't faced shots. He hasn't faced anything that's really close to anything that's simulated. Like we say, we're not even sure if he's even skating on his own to a point where they could work him into a practice. So, you know, it would take more than, 5 days to get ready to play in a series, and the way Antti Raanta's played, there's no reason to go to any other netminder right now. Raanta has been great. I'll throw this one out there for you guys. He has credited Henrik Lundqvist for helping his game get to the level that we've been able to see it here in Carolina. He loved backing up Hank and talked about how just being around him for the 2 years he was up with the Rangers made a difference in his career, but Ronta has been great. There's absolutely no update that I can give anybody on Freddie Anderson other than he's nowhere close to being ready. And if he is, it's probably going to be 2 weeks before the Canes would feel comfortable putting him into the net and getting him a couple of practices. And this time of year, Rick, there's no practice time. So I don't have anything other to say that I can't give an update until I see Freddie Anderson put on the pads and go to a practice for the Canes. And it doesn't look like we're going to see that anytime soon.
All right. He is the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. He's also a good buddy of mine and now a friend of the show, I think it's fair to say. Michael, as always, a pleasure. It's been too long. I will talk to you, my friend.
David, absolutely. And Rick, I'm glad we got this chance to bond over our very wonderful co-host in the morning, the one and only David Rothenberg.
Yeah, we'll start a support group, Mike. I'll be in touch.
Exactly. We need that online. We'll have the teleconference every Thursday. Let me know when.
All right. Mike, we'll talk to you, buddy. Have a great call tomorrow night. We appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Anytime you need me, just let me know.
All right. There you have it. See? I told you you'd love him.
Oh, what a voice he has, though. I mean, I was jealous already, but the voice, holy.
His voice is not usually that beautiful. I think it's so nice because he's exhausted and he still has, like, morning voice.
Well, he should do it more often because that was gorgeous.
Yeah. He's a hardworking guy. He's good. He's another career that I've helped launch.
Oh, here we go.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.